There was a sound. I didn't know if you heard it. It sounded like Bocchi got stabbed in her sleep.
Oh, no.
It was like a...
I did hear, like, just a very faint, high-pitched sound, but yeah. I didn't realize it was a dog sound.
It was not, like, her normal dream barks. It was a squeal.
Dream barks. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie, and we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood boys.
Definitely still appropriate to say Bollywood boys for this movie.
And the
even
singing
though it's not a Bollywood movie.
Right.
But yes, like,
and dancing, it's got it all, folks.
It really does. We are talking about A Nice Indian Boy today, and I loved this so much.
I loved it so much, too. Like, oh my gosh, it made me laugh. It made me cry. And it just...
Literally.
You know, someone online described it as a warm hug of a film, and it really was. It just was perfect.
It is such a warm hug. It really... I wrote in my notes that it's a full movie.
Yes. Like,
it has so many elements. There are so many different dynamics going on. All of them are so well thought out and well constructed. And yet it's still so, like, joyful. And I don't know. It just, it hits all the right notes for me. Like,
yes. I loved it. I think I was, like, 25 minutes in and I was texting my boyfriend, Chris. And I was like, this is happening. You have to watch this.
And you have to see this.
I knew within 10 minutes, I was like, I'm so mad that I didn't just buy it. Because I rented it.
I had the same thought, yes.
And I was like, this is going to be one that it's going to become a go-to comfort movie for me. Like, I already know that. I loved it so much. It made me squeal a bunch of times that we're going to talk about because of, like, stuff that happened. And it was so, so great.
That's wonderful. I love that for you. I love that for us. There's one part of it that I'm going to save to talk about, but there is one element of it that I wish we had gotten a little bit more of, but
okay.
I'm going to save that for the end.
Okay.
So, our cast, we have Karan Soni as Naveen. We have Jonathan Groff, hometown hero.
Yeah.
as Jay.
Because you know he's actually from Lancaster County. That's
where he is from.
I'm glad he got out. I think it's better than it was when he was growing up as a teen. But,
He's certainly made a lot of himself since then.
So. Yes.
Good for Jonathan. And then Sunita Mani as Arundhati. And I love Sunita Mani. She plays one of my absolute favorite characters on one of my absolute favorite TV shows, GLOW. And she's been in a bunch of other things. Yeah, she's always been great in it. But, like, GLOW was the first thing I saw her in, and I just, like, immediately was in love with her. And she's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, I did love her as well. I feel like her storyline, it almost felt like maybe it got cut a little bit.
Yeah, it was definitely,
that they would,
like,
have filmed more, but then just didn't fit with the flow or the timing or something. Like...
Yeah. I could see how there could have been more. I think it was, like, it was very condensed and very much just, like, okay, what's the absolute bare minimum that we can show to tell this story effectively?
Yeah.
And then I also want to mention Mom and Dad. We've got Zarna Garg as Mom and Harish Patel as Dad.
I'm in love with him.
He's so cute. He is really cute, and I had seen him in something before, too. He was in Mindy Kaling's 4 Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh, okay.
Which is great. But, so, this movie is directed by Roshan Sethi, and I know Mindy Kaling was involved. Was she a producer, maybe?
Probably. She's producing a lot of stuff.
Yes, Mindy Kaling was an executive producer, and Mindy Kaling is amazing.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really excited to talk about the characters. I kind of want to talk about them now, but I guess we won't.
How about we talk about them in context?
Okay. Oh, wait. Also, sorry. Can we do an honorable mention? Do you still have IMDb up?
Please. I don't, but yes, we can do an honorable here, mention. Is just, it Paul?
It is Paul. Yes. 100% Paul.
Is Peter S. Kim plays yes. Paul.
And so yeah, he was brilliant.
He was so funny.
He loved him. Oh my God. It was just, all of it was so real. Like, the humor yeah. was so good. And I know we're going to talk yes. about it, but, like, sometimes when you're trying to deal with a more serious subject, not that this is one of the more serious subjects that we've covered, but, you know, family dynamics and relationships, yeah. there's tension there. And so I feel like to make it funny, you run the risk of, like, cheapening the heart of it.
Yes.
Or it's like you're just trying to play for laughs. But it was all so perfectly done and perfectly yes. balanced. Like, it's so funny.
It's so funny. And there were definitely moments as I was going through my notes where I was like, this is a moment where in different hands, this exact idea, but like written and performed, like... Mm-hmm. too much would have cheapened it.
Yes.
So it's like, it's not even like they walked the line, but like they knew there needed to be comedy and they knew yeah. kind of the like stereotypical points that they could insert comedy and the ways that they could do uh-huh. it, but they still did it in a way that felt so real and relatable and not yeah. cliche that it yeah. was perfect.
Oh my God, it was so good. And I just have to say, like, Karan Soni's timing
oh.
is perfect.
He's so good.
I adore him.
Love him.
I know. He was in another movie directed by Roshan Shetty called 7 Days that also flew like under my radar. It came out in mm-hmm. 2021. And I immediately like saw that and was like, okay, I'm adding it to my list. Like,
nice.
I'm in love with him. And I want yeah. him to get all the work.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I'm ready. I'm not ready, Kim. I'm not ready. I'm so excited.
Okay, here we go.
Ah! Oh my God. Okay, sorry.
She's overcome.
Well, because you know, like, the first thing.
The first thing you hear in this movie is Bad to Mizadil. Did you? So I had the subtitles on because Amazon Prime yes. can't tell when you don't need right. them. And
I did too.
The subtitles say, "Bad to Mizadil by Ranbir Kapoor and Deepika Padukone."
Yes. Yeah, I was like, that's not completely accurate.
I mean, they're an important component to this song.
But they're not the performers. Yeah. I almost yeah. actually, upon hearing that, almost paused and went over to YouTube and watched Bad to Mizadil.
It's hard not to. It's hard to resist.
I mean, it's a really good one.
It's one of the best. It's truly one of the best.
And I don't know how you just, well, spoiler, I don't know how you just sit there when that's playing.
Maybe if you've heard it at like 7 or 8 Indian weddings.
Maybe
it's, I don't think this girl. Not these white ladies. We're up dancing to Bad to Mizadil whenever it happens.
Okay, sorry. Yes, continue.
Okay, so yes, we open to the song playing. Everyone's dancing. We're at a big Indian wedding. And then our main character and narrator through much of the story, Naveen, tells us that this is his sister Arundhati's wedding. And she finally let their mom fix her up with a nice Indian boy.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone at the wedding keeps coming up to Naveen and telling him that he's next. And he wonders, what will it look like when he brings home a nice Indian boy?
Yeah.
And he tells us that his parents know he's gay. He's already come out to them. But they've never seen him be gay mm-hmm. with another person.
Yeah.
So then we jump to, I don't remember if it was 5 or 6 years later, and because I rented the movie, by the time I was editing my notes, I couldn't go back and yeah. watch it again.
Yeah.
Which was annoying.
I don't remember either.
5 or 6 years later, we rejoin Naveen. We see him living his life. He's a doctor. And there's a little scene in here where we kind of get to see, like, his relationship with his mom. I wanted to particularly draw attention to this scene because his mom is asking him if he's seen the movie Milk. And then she, like, goes on to describe the plot of the movie Milk to him.
Because she watched it on Out TV.
On Out TV, yes. This is the way she relates to him, is she just kind of, like, watches this TV channel that's all, like, out gay men and their stories, which is great.
I mean, it's so relatable. Like,
yes.
She's trying so hard in the way that she knows, you know, like.
Yes. This is what she thinks a supportive mom would do. So she's doing it. I do want to particularly mention this reference to the movie Milk, though, because right before I watched this movie, I was reading about how, sorry, this is going on a tangent, but okay.
We love tangents.
Yes. This is an important one, but a little bit of a dark one. So the U.S. Secretary of Defense just told the U.S. Navy to rename a ship that was previously named after Harvey Milk. And apparently they did this intentionally during Pride Month.
Okay, you can't, like, that's not even anymore about, like, that's not even identity politics anymore. That is literally, like, the suppression of, like, history. I mean, which we already knew they were doing.
Yes. And
that's spiteful. God, I hate our government.
It's petty. It's deeply homophobic. But Dan Rather pointed out that this has had the unintended consequence of lots of people Googling Harvey Milk and finding out about him.
Yes, that's true. Because Milk, the movie, first of all, I've never seen it. But that came out, you know, like 20 years ago.
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it was big at the time, but it's not really a movie that people talk about anymore. And so I do think that that's brilliant, that by trying to smother it, you're now reigniting interest in it.
Well, there were all these people in the comments being like, yeah, I didn't know who he was, but I Googled him because of this, and now I know. And I didn't know that Harvey Milk had been in the Navy. I had only known of him as a politician.
Yeah.
Yes, that's why this ship was named after him. And so I now know something about a, like, gay rights advocate icon that I didn't know. I now know something about him that I didn't know before. So I just appreciated that this attempt at erasure has actually brought things to the forefront. But anyway, that's, like, again, that's such a huge tangent, but an important one. It's Pride Month. We talk about these things.
Thank you for calling attention to it.
Absolutely. But okay, so back to the story. We start chapter one, The Boy. Naveen is praying at a temple, specifically to Ganesh. Ganesh is an important figure throughout the film. And he clocks a very attractive man who is also there praying to Ganesh. As the man is leaving, he rings a bell, and they catch eyes. They exchange a charged glance. Shortly after this, Naveen gets his headshot taken at...
Sorry, I was just reminded that towards the end of, like, the Milk conversation, Naveen's mom is like, how do you just, like, how do you know when you just look at someone? You just know, and it's like, boom, you kiss. Like,
yeah.
She's like, how? How do you know that? And I like that Naveen's like, that's not how that works.
That doesn't
that kind of, like, kind of happened. It's so good.
I think just like with anything, I think there can be a moment where you catch eyes with someone and you're like, I know you just looked at me because you're into me.
Exactly. I think it's lack of the, like, wow, I can just tell your sexuality, and more like, I can tell that you're attracted to me.
You're into me. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But so, yes, Naveen, after this encounter, is at work and he's getting his headshot taken. And who should turn out to be the photographer but this handsome man from the temple? And this man introduces himself as Jay, and then he directs Naveen through this photo shoot in, again, a very charged way.
It's very charged, yeah.
Yeah, just the sparks are setting everything ablaze in this moment. And Jay invites Naveen to a film screening, and Naveen enthusiastically agrees.
Yeah.
And then we cut to them watching the movie, which is DDLJ.
Of course it is.
Of course.
And
little
DDLJ. I just love Naveen's face as they're in the theater because he's with this white guy.
Yes. He's a little weirded out by the fact that, oh, this white man has taken him, an Indian man, on their first date to go see DDLJ.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's unreasonable.
No, yeah.
But after the movie, Jay explains that he was raised by Indian parents and they love DDLJ and they both passed away recently and the movie reminds him of them.
Mm-hmm.
I do still think this is a weird first date idea.
Well, it's also just like it's long too. I mean, I also just disagree with movies as a first date in general.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I agree with that disagreement for sure. But Jay makes it even weirder by loudly singing the theme while they're like out on the street talking about the movie. He's just singing the and Naveen is just, he's overwhelmed, not in a good way. And this encounter is interspersed with him telling his coworker Paul about this date.
It's so good.
It's so good. And in this conversation with Paul, I love this, he calls Jay corny, and then he tells Paul that he doesn't want declarations of love. It's 2024 and the world is burning. It's like, no one's got time for that anymore. But then there's also a line in here that is something to the effect of, I think a lot of people find Bollywood a bit much because they find the bigness of love embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I'm pretty sure Jay says that. And I just, that really resonated with me.
Yeah.
Just my love of Bollywood.
Me too. I mean, yeah, it's like you have to come into it with an open heart.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's delightful if you do.
Yeah, and you have to be prepared for some hyperbole that is also just emphasizing what is truly just the bigness of a lot of the feelings that you have when you're in love.
Right.
And I love that.
Yeah.
But so Paul asks Naveen if he went home after the movie, but no. We see that Naveen and Jay are at a bar, and Katie, did you happen to catch what was playing?
Immediately. With the music, I was like, that's an Orville Peck song. And I was like, no, there's no way. There's no way. And then I was like, because of course, as soon as he starts singing in the background, I'm like, of course it's an Orville Peck song. But I was like, you know, maybe they were just going to use the instrumental. But yes, it's, is it Any Time or Any Turn by Orville Peck? I can't remember. One second.
Hold on. I just had their soundtrack up recently. It's Any Turn.
Any Turn. Yeah, I screamed. I was like, thank you. Yes, this is now officially my dream. Like, this is everything I've ever wanted.
I was really proud of myself for recognizing it as
I'm
an Orville Peck song right away.
I'm impressed that you did too. Like,
I was going to ask you, but then I looked at the soundtrack after and I saw that it was on there. So I was like, okay, now I know for sure it was Orville.
Yeah,
it's a very distinctive voice. Like, you hear it and you know. Yeah.
It's just like deep seated in my bones that like my body recognized the like boom, like that, like it recognized that before I knew what was happening. I was like, why did I just go on high alert? What's happening?
Your body, you started reacting to it before you knew what you were reacting to. It's instinctual for you.
Because, like, what do we have here? We've got Bollywood meeting Broadway meeting Orville Peck. Love it. Love it.
Three of the best worlds colliding. Yeah.
Yeah. Really quick, can I also just add that love Paul for all the reasons. Yeah. But when they're talking about how weird it is that like Jay's like a white guy who's basically been raised in Indian culture, I love that Paul is like, well, my parents are white and now I love boat shoes and Diane Keaton. I was like, I don't know why I found that so funny. It was good.
Boat shoes are so terrible. They have no support. They're very uncomfortable.
Have a pair of boat shoes?
Well, I had
you actually
to.
Had
I worked,
a boat.
I worked at a rest. No, 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 no. You don't. Those aren't the kind of shoes you wear on a boat. That's not true. The good ones you actually can wear on a boat, but like the cheap ones that most people like, you know. But I had to have boat shoes because I worked at a restaurant at a marina one summer and I was the hostess and boat shoes were a part of our uniform and waiting tables in boat shoes
not
is
good
a horrendous idea. I had blisters. Ooh. My arches were tortured for lack of support.
They were screaming. They were screaming out for help.
Yeah.
I had like two or three different pairs of boat shoes.
Yeah, you come from a fairly preppy
that is true. That family. Yeah, that's probably why. You can't ride horses in boat shoes, though.
You definitely can't ride horses in boat shoes. Yeah. But so we see that the date continues to be overall a little iffy. Naveen is telling boring stories from the hospital. Jay vapes, but only when he's nervous, which is a little bit cute. Although, generally speaking, vaping on a date, not cute.
Yeah, I have experienced that.
Yeah.
That was the one and only date.
Yeah. No, yeah. But then Jay talks more about his childhood. He moved around a bunch to different foster homes when he was a kid before the Karundkars took him in and adopted him. And he says that he never felt love before his parents and that they instilled in him the feeling of home. The conversation comes back to DDLJ, and Jay asks Naveen what he would want his wedding to be like. And Naveen says that he doesn't think about it, and Jay says that he wants everything, the big ceremony, the big dance party, choreographed dancing, and that he and his husband look out at it all and want for nothing.
Yeah.
And then they have a moment, and Jay leans in for a kiss, and Naveen just gets up and leaves. He says, yeah. Lives are at stake, and he runs out.
I do love, like, spoiler alert, I didn't do research, I just, like, read reviews and stuff.
Sure.
And it feels relevant to bring it up now, but the reviews that were, like, nitpicky about the film, they were overwhelmingly positive. We'll talk about those. But the people who, like, didn't like it so much said that it was too awkward, that they didn't have chemistry, all of that stuff. And I'm like, well, the whole point, right, is that Naveen is a little bit awkward. He's a little, like, kind of uncomfortable with sitting with himself and, like, what he's feeling. And that is a very normal experience for a lot of people. Yeah. And, like, you can have chemistry with someone and still act awkwardly. A lot of us do that all the time. Like,
every day.
Yeah. And so I love that he's not this, like, suave guy who's self-assured. He's a real person who's, like, kind of swept away by this other person who seems to have a lot more, like, self-confidence and acceptance.
Well, but I was gonna say, like, they both are real people. Like, neither one of them is suave or sweeping the other one off their feet. And I think that's what makes it so good, is that, like, you know, it's not like Jay is a manic pixie dream guy.
No.
Like, he's just a guy.
Yeah.
And they do have amazing chemistry in these moments where they're supposed to have this connection that makes it believable that they can overcome that awkwardness and overcome those feelings of, like, maybe I'm not that into this guy who keeps talking about his job or keeps talking about his Indian parents and he's a white guy, but, like, ooh, but we really do have great chemistry.
it's a real experience.
Yeah, totally. And the opposite of that is a real experience, too, where you're having a really good conversation with someone and there's no chemistry whatsoever. Yep. That's also real.
That happens, too.
Yes. But okay, so this date ends, but then Jay invites Naveen to the opening of his photography exhibition, and Naveen decides to go. And he's looking at Jay's work and particularly is drawn in by a photo of Jay and his parents. Mm-hmm. And he tells Jay that this is his favorite photo in the exhibition, and Jay confesses that he was scared to show it. And Naveen says that it tells him who Jay is. And this very touching moment leads to an actual kiss. They kiss successfully, and we see them in bed together, and they're off to the races. They're into each other. And so then we see Naveen have dinner with his family, and his sister, Arundhati, is asking him if he's dating anyone. But before he can answer, his dad interjects and says that Arundhati is making Naveen uncomfortable. And it's clear here who is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So Jay then brings Naveen to meet his friends, two of whom we're going to see a lot more of through the movie, Billy and Neil. And then Naveen accidentally eats 4 pieces of bread with pot in it and realizes that he's in love with Jay.
Yeah, that also feels very real.
Yeah.
Weed focaccia. Well,
to, like, give somebody a plate of bread and not tell them that there's drugs in it.
Yeah, that's not
that's
cool.
That's not cool. That's not cool, guys. But so this brings us to chapter 2, The Love.
Mm-hmm.
We see Jay and Paul doing karaoke together, and over
it's so
there,
good.
Over their musical number, we hear Naveen practicing telling his family about Jay, and we're also getting at the same time a montage of sweet couple moments, and we see Jay and Naveen move in together.
Yeah.
The montage slows, and Naveen says, "Mom, Dad, do you ever feel like Kajol in a field of yellow flowers, hearing a cowbell, and just knowing?"
Uh-huh.
And I loved that so much. And we hear the bell. We hear the sound of the bell.
I just love how often DDLJ comes up as a way for them to, like, relate to each other or relate to how they're feeling. Like, it would have been fun if it was just like, oh my God, little reference. They're just watching DDLJ. But I love that it's like a through line.
Yeah, it's actually like a
It's a part of the film.
Of their relationship. And yeah. So then we see Naveen and Jay leaving their apartment one day when they bump into Naveen's brother-in-law. And this is very awkward, and it's clear to the brother-in-law that these two are together. And as they are arriving at, they're going over to Billy and Neil's house for dinner, we see Naveen get a call from Arundhati and ignore the call.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly he is worrying that she knows about them.
Yeah. It's also just that moment when he drops Jay's hand and like tries to stand away from him. And I can't even imagine how that would
feel. I mean, yeah, there's no way to not think that someone is ashamed of you.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right.
And so that's exactly what Jay is feeling. They go into this dinner with a lot of tension, and it boils over when Neil asks for the story of how Naveen and Jay met, and Naveen just says, "We met at the hospital."
Mm-hmm.
So Jay tells Naveen how he feels like he doesn't exist, and he accuses Naveen of never knowing what he wants. And so Naveen says he wants the big wedding, he wants all the same things that Jay wants, and with Jay.
Yeah.
And they both say yes to each other, even though there's no direct question here, and they clasp hands across the table. Everyone is crying. It's very sweet.
Proposals happen in a variety of ways.
Boy, do they.
Yeah.
A lot of different unexpected ways that can happen. But now it's time for Chapter 3, The Family. Naveen calls Dad and tells him that he's bringing home a guy that he's seeing, but he doesn't have the chance to share any of the other potentially important details before Dad pretends he has bad service and ends the call.
He's just so uncomfortable. He's like, okay, great, bye. Because he told him that he met him at the temple.
Yes.
And that was it. So
yes. So assumptions are made. Naveen promises Jay that his parents are very liberal. Jay just can't talk about sex or eating meat, no displays of affection, and Jay can be himself, but just a little more formal.
Yeah. Like you're meeting the president, right? Like
right. Yes. Yeah, presidential. Mom and Dad are also nervous, and right before answering the door, we hear Mom say, "At least the boy is Indian." So, yeah, no one's in a good place when the boys arrive. No one's feeling great about it. It's very awkward. Obviously, Jay is white. Yeah. Uh-huh. I was thinking how Jay is such a good choice of name for him because it's a name that could be either white or Indian. Like,
I had that
good
thought,
job.
Too.
But, yeah, so Arundhati is also here, and she is upset that Naveen didn't tell them that Jay is white. And Naveen's like, well, didn't your husband tell you that he's white? And Arundhati is like, how would he even know? Like, no, we haven't talked about this.
Yeah.
So that's a little suspicious. As they sit down to chat as a family, Arundhati starts to interrogate Jay, and Jay explains his upbringing. And so Arundhati turns to Naveen and is like, well, that would have been nice to know all of that before I just decided to be super rude, which I'm like, was your choice, but still.
Yeah. She's going through some stuff.
She's going through, I try to give Arundhati some grace here. But so Mom says that she thinks it's great that Jay is white, and Arundhati wonders where that mindset was when she got married, and then she jokes that they should start planning Jay and Naveen's wedding now. The boys sit uncomfortably, and Arundhati asks if they're really engaged, and Naveen quickly says no. So Jay excuses himself to go to the bathroom to vape. Things only get worse from here. Arundhati storms out of the room, Jay comes back, and Dad makes a comment about him being a freelance photographer. Mom starts criticizing Dad in Hindi, which Naveen then has to point out Jay does understand.
Uh-huh.
And then Arundhati finds Jay's vape cartridge in the bathroom and immediately goes downstairs and rats him out.
Yeah. She's acting like a teenager right now.
She really is. Very, very immature. And so Naveen says that Jay doesn't vape all the time, and Jay interrupts and says that's not true, and he doesn't want to be telling any more lies to Naveen's parents. He thanks them for their hospitality, and he leaves. Naveen confronts his family, which leads to the confession from Arundhati that she is getting a divorce. So when Naveen gets back home, Jay is packing a bag. And he says that he should have known that Naveen would always be ashamed of him. And then he references a scar on his arm and says that his foster dad gave it to him when he found Jay playing with his mom's shoes. Mm-hmm. Jay says that he's been rejected from enough families to know when it's time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So this brings us to chapter 4, the music. Naveen comes home from a tipsy night out with Paul to find Arundhati in his apartment. And she says that she needed space from their parents.
Yeah.
She asks where Jay is, and when Naveen doesn't answer, she calls their relationship fragile and says she did Naveen a favor. Mm. Naveen says he can't imagine why she's getting a divorce.
Yeah. Sibling yeah, so stuff. That's
harsh. Yeah. And I don't remember if it's in this moment. I think it is when she says, you could have just answered my call, like referencing. Like,
I can't remember when she said, yeah.
But I thought about it after the fact and how that's like, that moment really like encapsulates a lot of like Naveen's flawed way of relating to his family. Like he's very much centering himself and his experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he assumed his sister was calling him about Jay.
Yeah, to, like, berate him about having a boyfriend that he didn't tell anyone about.
And that's
when in reality,
she
was calling
up.
Him. Yeah, she was calling him to, like, talk about her divorce and, like, how hard that is.
Yeah.
But I don't blame him. He's going through a lot. No, when you're going through a lot, it's hard. But that's what makes it so good.
That's the complexity. Yeah. It's the best part of it is that, like, no one is a villain here.
Yes.
Everyone is like trying their hardest to relate to the people they love and their family members the way that they know how. And it's so good.
It's very good. But so the next morning, Arundhati and Naveen are a little more civil with one another. Arundhati says that she and her husband don't love each other and they don't even look at each other.
I love the story that she tells. Because at first I was confused because he's like, why did this happen? And she's like, oh, we were watching Project Runway. And I asked, like, well, what if I wore that dress to this event? And her husband was like, I don't care. I just care that you show up. Like, I don't care what you wear. Yeah. And at first I was like, okay, like, isn't that good, though? You have, like, you don't have a controlling husband. That's great. And then, yeah, when she was like, he doesn't look at me. Like, we're both kind of just placeholders for each other.
Yeah. Or just nothing. Like, just there's no connection there, even like friendship or like
we're just
alliance
there for
with
the
each other. It's
role.
Just like we just kind of like are here sharing the space.
Yeah.
But so Naveen references their parents' marriage as an example of like a healthy arranged marriage. But Arundhati says that mom told her to adjust to life without passion. And Arundhati says that she won't keep living in a loveless marriage because it's what their mom decided to do.
Mm.
Then she apologizes for torpedoing Naveen's relationship and asks Naveen if he told Jay that he broke their VHS of DDLJ, rewinding it so many times when he was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
She says that he has what SRK and Kajal have, that DDLJ thing where he looks at him and hears music.
I loved that.
Yeah, very sweet.
Yeah.
And so Jay goes to the temple and prays to Ganesh for a sign. And just then, another person at the temple rings the same bell that Jay rung. And what more of a sign could you need? So he plans this whole elaborate proposal. He, like, makes a video where he is SRK in DDLJ.
This is so funny.
It's so funny. He's wearing this horrible wig. It's very adorable. Yeah, so he's inserted himself into the iconic scene with the mustard flowers. He's singing along to the song. Jay is watching this, and he's overcome with just laughter and joy. Naveen comes out and gets down on one knee and says he's asking for a second time if Jay will marry him. Jay says he won't do this without Naveen's family, and Naveen says he knows. And then Jay says he loves him. And so now, chapter 5, the wedding. Mom and Dad don't know how to take it that Jay and Naveen want a big traditional Indian wedding. They're really thrown by this. Mom says that she assumed they'd want something gayer. And Dad asks which of them will be the bride.
Yeah.
When they're alone, Mom scolds Dad for his reactions to the wedding, and Dad says that Mom is thinking the same things deep down, but Mom says she's not, and I think she is trying to convince herself of this as much as him.
Yeah, I actually really loved that scene and, like, the focus on her face where she's like, I'm not, and then she's like, I'm not. Like, she's trying so hard to kind of overcome her own, you know, like, upbringing, I'm sure.
Yeah.
To be like, how do I make my son feel loved? I don't really know how to bridge that divide, but I feel like, you know, yeah.
She wants to be okay with it so badly. Yes. Like, she's going to make herself be okay with it.
Yeah.
And which she wants her husband to be stepping up and doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's like, I think, sure, ideally, like, you know, the generation gaps would allow for our parents and grandparents just to be like, I accept you as you are. But, like, it can make it very difficult, and that's not always the story. And so I do appreciate when it's like the love is not diminished. It's just that the idea that they had of your future now looks differently, and that's can be difficult to grapple with for some people.
Sure. There's the, oh, I accept you and love you as you are. And then there's the, and I also automatically understand, like, how to relate to you, and I understand what it means for you to fully belong to this community. Yeah. Like, there are so many layers to that.
Yeah.
That, like, that I feel like is what the kind of underlying note here is of their relationship is, like, it's not enough to just be like, okay, well, my son has come out to me, he's gay, I still love him.
Right.
And also, there's all this other stuff that goes along with that relationship being able to continue to be, like, healthy and loving and supportive and good for both parties.
Well, and that's why I love that we now have, like, this film coming out where we're kind of moving on from the standard cut and dry simple. Not that coming out is cut and dry. It's certainly not. But, like, now we're getting into the, like, okay, now what? Where do we go from here? Where do the relationships go from here in what is fundamentally a healthy, loving family dynamic? And, like, what does that look like? And I do really appreciate it.
Yeah. Especially because I feel like this is what a lot of people's experience probably is. Mm-hmm. Is, like, I know that there are certainly realities where it's really, really challenging and, like, people get thrown out of their houses and things. But I think a lot of the time it is just a, like, okay, good to know. Like, I love you and accept you. And that relationship continues to be really, really complicated. And it becomes more complicated. And so to see that story represented, and that's the root of the drama, is this very, you know, very, what's maybe becoming more of a norm in terms of that response, at least in our society.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mom, after this conversation, she goes, like, full on planning mode. She's like, all right, my son wants a big Indian wedding. I'm going to give him a big Indian wedding. We see them meet with a very intense wedding planner. Uh-huh. They go to a venue that none of them are particularly happy with. And Naveen and Jay are not thrilled when he offers them the date of September 11th. Mom asks if there's a discount, which there doesn't seem to be.
And Naveen's like, even if there were, we're not getting married.
Yeah, let's not 9/11. Do that.
I did like when she was like yelling at the wedding planner for like calling it like a homo wedding. She was like, stop saying that. Like, she's like educating other people.
Right. Yes. She's fully going to the mattresses for the boys here. She says her only gay son is getting married, and she doesn't like what the wedding planner is coming up with. Meanwhile, Dad is just sitting in the car.
Yeah.
He's not getting involved. And Naveen goes to talk to him and asks him what he is so afraid of. What is the worst thing that could happen at this big gay Indian wedding? And Dad says children these days are so ungrateful. They decide things on their own. And his father gave him no say in the wedding. And Naveen calls Dad's marriage loveless and then says that Dad will receive an invitation to the wedding, but he is under no obligation to attend. And Dad takes this hard. And yeah. he tries to be a little loving with yeah. mom. And mom's just not...
she's not picking up on it.
She's not picking up on it. So she's... Yeah. And so he's like, okay, I'm just going to bed. But he pauses briefly before a drawing of Ganesh on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Then we see Arundhati and Naveen are at Arundhati's apartment watching a shirtless man assemble furniture.
This is so great, too.
Just enjoying the show.
Yeah.
And then mom comes in and she says that dad is very upset, and she reminds Naveen that they are not the enemy. And she says that when her children prick their finger, their parents bleed. And then she says that Naveen came out to them years ago and that he hasn't then... really included them in his life at all, talked mm-hmm. about his relationships or talked about anything in his life. And she says that now that he is, she's worried that if she says one wrong thing, she'll cut them out entirely, or he'll cut them out entirely.
Yeah. Well, and doesn't she, like, in this speech also explain that, like, the first person you bring home, it's our first time meeting him and we find out that you're engaged?
Right. That would be pretty intense. It's your first time even saying you're in a relationship, first time meeting him, you're engaged.
Right. Yeah. That she's like, you know, we're trying so hard to kind of roll with this and accept it, but you're not making it any easier on us to, like, yeah. ease us into it. You're just kind of yeah. dropping things on us out of the blue and then, like, getting upset when we're not immediately like, great, okay, we're cool with it. Like, that yeah. feels very real, too, because, like, Naveen's reaction and his impulse to do that feels very real. Like,
yes, and understandable, yes, too. Like, being afraid of what the response is going to be.
Right, but then so does the parents' response. Like, it's
yeah.
it's so good. It's so good.
It's so good. The dynamics are all so well thought out and yeah. make sense. And, again, there's no bad guy. There's nobody here like, oh, you're doing so badly in your
yeah,
life.
No.
It's like, no, everyone is feeling complicated things here.
Yeah.
But so dad then goes to Jay's exhibition.
Yeah. And
just like Naveen, he pauses in front of the picture of Jay and his parents. And then he invites Jay in to cook with him. But he doesn't approve of Jay's suggestion to put dates in the korma.
Mm-hmm.
Dad tells Jay that he wanted to be a cook. But when he told his father cut him. And he reveals a scar on his arm. Dad says it was a different time, and Jay says, not that different.
Yeah.
Dad then says Naveen used to paint, and he says that Naveen did the drawing of Ganesh on the wall. And he says that Naveen is always surprising him, and that he has good taste, and then he blesses Jay and kisses him on the forehead. And this was the first time this movie made me cry.
Yeah. Well, and it's
this
like,
was just so sweet.
You've also just, we've only really seen Stern Dad.
Yeah.
And then, like, you can see how sweet he is inside. Like, oh, yeah.
It's really lovely. And then the family sits down to eat together, and Naveen asks, are there dates in this?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh, just the blending, the melding of the families. Yeah. Beautiful.
Dad was able to find that thing to connect with Jay over.
Yeah, yeah.
That's and in really a way nice. That, like, he hasn't been able to even connect with his own son about.
Right,
like,
yeah. Like, they can have this thing that they share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. yeah.
That's beautiful.
Oh!
And then we hear a voiceover of Arundhati saying that the easiest thing to believe in is love.
Yeah.
We see the wedding celebrations commence, the grooms exchange garlands and circle the fire 7 times, and Arundhati reads out their vows in English. The pundit says they are now one soul, and they kiss, and everyone cheers. And this was another Paul moment that I loved, where he's sitting there watching, and he, yeah. like, at one point, he, like, gives a little gasp, and he's like, they're married.
Yeah.
And the woman next to him is like, yeah, they're married. And everyone cheers. I just...
Yeah.
Oh, that really also hit me right in the heart.
That actually happened to me at my sister's elopement, which uh-huh. is funny because she and her husband got married before
they were,
that
yeah.
trip happened. They got legally married. And, like, we were kind of like, oh, they're married. But then we had, like, the ceremony.
Yeah.
And, like, they put the rings on the fingers and they said the things. And then they kissed and I was like, oh, my gosh. It's happened. Like,
it did.
They're married.
They did it. Yeah, it's real.
Yeah, so, like,
yeah.
Yeah, I totally get that. And it's such a, like, genuine, just, like, pure reaction.
Yeah, very sweet. And so then at the reception, to everyone's surprise and apprehension, Mom takes the stage. Yep. And she gives a toast where she's talking about cooking.
Uh-huh.
She's throwing a lot of innuendo in there, but I think she is mostly talking about cooking.
Yeah, but it's very well done. Well, and apparently
it's very well done.
Apparently this actress is a comedian. Like she's known for her comedy. Yeah. And I was like, as soon as I read that, I was like, yes, I see it.
she did great here. Great delivery. And so she says that when her husband took over the cooking, they conceived their first child. But then she goes on to say that she wasn't surprised that Naveen was gay, but she did worry that he would be alone. And then Jay put their lives at ease. And she says that Jay and Naveen may have a head start in their relationship on her and Dad, but their marriages aren't that different. One day, their love today will feel small because they'll see, as life goes on, that their love will grow until one day they realize it will never stop growing. And this also made me cry. And it also, like, as I was writing it into my notes earlier, it made me cry again.
I mean, I'm tearing up. I don't know how you said that. Like, I'm crying.
I had to but I'm getting married in less than 2 months.
Yes.
Like, anything along these lines just sets me off.
Yeah. I'm not. And
I cry all the time.
I do, especially around, like, love and connection and emotions. Yeah. And no, it was just so beautiful. And what I love is that, like, there's been all, like, these kind of side conversations about how their parents were in arranged marriage and they had a loveless marriage and all of that, but obviously both parents never said that. But then you see this and you're like, oh no, there is, like, deep love here.
Yeah. And I was really glad to see that, because at first when the conversation with Arundhati happens where she's talking about their parents being in a loveless marriage, I was like, I wonder if this movie is going to be, like, kind of critical of arranged marriage and, you know, and have that actually be the case for the parents. And looking back, I'm like, I should have known that wasn't. But I was like, interesting. And I'm just really glad that it wasn't, because I just think, like, obviously the advice to, like, you know, put up with being in a passionless marriage is different when you've been married to someone for 35 years versus when you've only been married for a few years and there was never that passion. But, like, that idea of love, like, growing and changing and looking different but always being there in some form or another is what you hear from anybody who has been married for a long period of time.
Regardless of how it started. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's different as it goes along, but it's always there.
Yeah. Well, and I actually really appreciate that we see both sides of it.
Yeah.
You know, you see this arranged marriage that has really worked out well, but then you see Arundhati's marriage, which didn't. And arranged marriage is a whole conversation in itself, but, like, that happens in chosen, you know, in quote-unquote love matches as well. Like, people get married for a variety of reasons to people that they may or may not have chosen themselves. And sometimes, it leads to something bigger than when they started, and sometimes it doesn't. But it was nice that it's not like, well, arranged marriages are always great or arranged marriages are always bad, because I'm like, that's like saying all marriages are always great or all marriages are always bad. It's not, you can't make a blanket statement on that.
People are way more complicated than
that.
But so then after this, Mom and Arundhati share a very sweet moment where Mom says that she never realized how lucky she and Dad were, and she hopes that everyone can be that lucky. And then she tells Arundhati, you're next.
Yeah.
The wedding planner calls for silence and Naveen dances, and one by one, Mom, Arundhati, and Dad join into the fabulous, adorable choreographed dance. And the song that they're dancing to is called Jalebi Baby by Tesher, and it's a great song.
It's really good.
I've favorited it on Spotify. And then Dad pulls Jay onto the dance floor, and Jay and Naveen share a moment where they're overwhelmed with love. And they have everyone around them, and they kiss, and as we fade to black, we hear a bell ring.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah. It was so wholesome.
Yeah.
And so good, but, like, didn't shy away from, like, the realities of what this would look like. And I really, really, really loved it.
It's a beautifully balanced film. I will say, this is what I kind of teased at the beginning.
Oh,
but that, like, I really anticipated that Jay's whiteness was going to be more of a part of this story.
Right.
And, like, obviously, like, this movie doesn't need to be about this white person, but it was. Like,
yeah.
It was introduced, and in a way that made me really curious to know more, like, specifically about what it would be like to, like, not really feel like you belong to this community that is where you found home. Especially after his parents died.
Yeah.
And I do feel like there were moments where we're seeing him, like, feel like he's getting to feel that way again, like, feel welcomed again. But I don't know. I would have liked, like, one more scene with Jay before the movie ended, because we don't see a lot of him in the, like, towards the end of the film, in, like, the back half of the film. And I would have loved to have seen, like, maybe one more emotional scene that was just for him as Jay, like, getting to feel, like, that acceptance again.
I'd agree with that. I honestly, hadn't really thought about it very much. But you're right, because it kind of gets teased a little.
I was really interested to see the story of a white guy who was raised by Indian parents who, like, finds a lot of joy in Indian culture. I was interested to see that character's story told.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I think that that could just be its own movie.
It really could. Yeah.
And I'd love for it to still star Jonathan Groff.
Yes. But, like, yeah, I'm just trying to think, because, like, I think that they just, that wasn't, it was Naveen's journey. But you're right, I think that there could have been room for just two or three more minutes.
It was sort of like, we need for these things to kind of happen in these ways, so we're creating this character so that it does happen, and it's like, okay, that's fine, you can do that, but you've also created a really interesting character who I am really interested to understand more about.
Right, yeah. I will say, too, that that actually, Jay was, like, the one part of the film that was kind of mentioned in reviews as being, like, the one flaw. Hmm. Like, they felt like he wasn't as fully fleshed out as everyone else in the movie.
Yeah.
So that aligns with that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
Are we...
Would you like that to be your transition?
Yeah, are we ready to move into reviews? Oh, right. Before we do reviews, actually, I have some fun facts.
Okay, let's hear them.
Okay, so first, Jonathan Groff was only supposed to learn a few lines from the DDLJ song, but he recited the entire song in that scene, shocking Karan Soni and the rest of the crew. So I like to think that, like, that expression on Karan's face was, like, real.
Genuine, like, whoa, you're really going for it, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, and, like, of course, he's a Broadway performer. Why wouldn't he?
He memorized that song in 7 seconds, I'm sure.
But also, I just learned this in my, like, sleuthing online, and I find it delightful. Karan Soni and the director, Roshan Sethi, are actually partners in real life.
Oh, nice.
They're in love. Yeah.
Well, good for them.
And they were in love before this movie was filmed. Like, yeah. He was directing his boyfriend.
That's great. Well, he did a great job, both of them.
I loved that. Yeah, loved it so much. So, reviews. I've got, like, three critic reviews that I just want to mention. One was from Brian Bromberger for the Bay Area Reporter. And he writes that one of the few flaws in the film, like I mentioned, is that Jay's character isn't developed as richly as Naveen. But he then says, though, in all fairness, the movie is less about him than how immigrant families adapt to Western/American morality and bridge the cultural divide, as well as the trials of being in an interracial relationship. There's also a nuanced discussion about the virtues of arranged marriages. Despite all the sociological baggage on changing cultural norms, the film retains its humor while avoiding sentimentality. And he also talks about the strong supporting cast, saying, "You know you have a great company of actors when the richness of the supporting characters rivals those of the main protagonists." Which is so true. Like, no, it's not technically an ensemble cast, I guess, but it feels like it is. Like, it feels like everyone's equally important.
Everybody needs to be hitting it out of the park.
Yes.
I don't know. I can't come up with a... I think you could call this an ensemble film because I think that that's the exact definition in my mind of an ensemble film is when it doesn't work if everybody's not
right.
bringing their A game.
That's very true. And I agree with that. Yeah. Then we have An Ji-hun for The Hollywood Reporter. She echoes the first sentiment about Jay's character depth being the one main flaw of the film. She says, "The film's focus on Naveen cannot help but shortchange Jay, often leaving him as an ideal for Naveen to catch up to rather than a protagonist in his own right. But it's a testament to the film's attention to detail that the bond between Naveen and Jay nevertheless feels sturdy." Which is true, because, like, yes, Jay could have been developed more, but he doesn't feel flat.
No, and he does, like we were saying, feel real.
Yeah,
and
I believe their love.
Like, yeah, he's not like this, like, I must achieve this great goal. It's like, no, he's just a guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's got flaws.
Yeah. Han also goes into depth about the humor that shows up throughout the film, which is balanced out with the real pain experienced by the characters. For example, Dad's experience with his own father in relation to his chosen career and his own wedding. Han ends by saying that a nice Indian boy might not capture how epic love can be exactly. It's too grounded and scrappy for the sorts of over-the-top displays that Jay so admires in the movies. But it gets something of how full it can make life feel.
Aw, yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that.
And then my last, like, official review comes from Proma Khosla for IndieWire. And she comments that the film subverts some common tropes, including the coming out storyline, which we mentioned, and Naveen having to explain his upbringing and culture to Jay. We kind of just bypassed all of that.
Yeah.
Which then set the scene for some really interesting dynamics.
Yeah, that's true. It's nice that we don't have to, like, bring Jay up to speed on the the big Indian wedding. He's already there, so that's good.
Because it's like, that's a movie in itself, but that feels more like a straight-up comedy. Like that is just like a My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Khosla wrote, "Like Sethi's 7 Days, the other film starring Karan Soni, the cultural touches in A Nice Indian Boy never feel like an afterthought. From the last names to the licensed songs and footage from DDLJ to the strategically placed song by the out and proud Ali Sethi, this is not a South Asian movie made with the sole purpose of peddling its South Asianness. Director Sethi's passion for love stories is inherently intertwined in his love for Indian culture and cinema, and now with his queer identity as he applies these potent, if predictable, storytelling techniques."
That puts words to something that I was feeling and couldn't quite articulate in the way that it's all woven together.
Yeah.
It feels so normal and natural that all of those things would belong in the same story.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like any of them are being used
as a prop,
like,
or
as a prop, like, yeah, like it, exploiting it in any way or taking advantage. It's just like, yeah, no, this is real. Like, this is all happening together at the same time. And I like that.
Yeah, me too. I know, I read that and I was like, yes, yes.
Yeah.
She ends by writing, "Bollywood love isn't only for straight people, something the Indian industry is only incrementally dismantling. And in A Nice Indian Boy, Naveen realizes that it's not just for Indian people either. When love is that big, it spans cultures and generations, bringing everybody together in the end. Just like DDLJ."
Love it.
Right? I loved it too. I was like, yeah. I also love that in the movie, like, as they're getting ready, Naveen is like, "Nothing's gayer than Bollywood." Like,
yes. Yeah.
It's so good. Then I was, like, looking through audience reviews on IMDb, which also, just so we all know, like, Rotten Tomatoes, it's in the 90% on, like, Rotten Tomatoes. Like, all of the critics' reviews that I saw were glowing. And the audience reviews were predominantly positive as well. So, but a few notable quotes from viewers. The first two, I'm just like, well, we have to talk about this. So the one said, the only drawback is that some background knowledge of Bollywood is necessary to fully appreciate it. And I would argue that that's not true.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking, I was like, no, there's no way I have to show Chris DDLJ before I can show him this. Like, you can pick up on, like, okay, this is a sweeping romantic epic.
Yeah. I completely agree. I'm trying to take myself out of the love extensive of, yes. knowledge I have of DDLJ. And, yeah, I don't think you need to know anything other than what the movie tells you. Which yeah. is just, yeah, this is a love story and... you don't need to know who Kajal is. You don't need right. to know who... I was watching it thinking, like, people who haven't seen DDLJ, I wonder if they'll think that, like, Kajal is the character's name.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't. Another quote from a different reviewer was, and this, I was like, oh, we're going to talk about this, said, the Bollywood reference was a little old and outdated, but still relatable, even in this era. But who doesn't know what DD... Like, if you grew up watching Bollywood films...
Yeah.
I feel like you know what DDLJ is. And even if you didn't, if you know of one Bollywood film, you know, excluding Bride and Prejudice, you know, it's probably DDLJ because...
Yeah.
That's, like, what has broken through.
And I also think about the timing of this. Like, DDLJ came out in 1995, I think?
Yeah.
Or mid-90s. And I think that Jay and Naveen are both supposed to... They're probably right. supposed to be around my age.
Yeah.
And I was born in 1992. So if right. you think about that, it's like, okay, you know, yeah, their parents get the VHS when they're, like...
Right.
you know, four,
yeah.
those are the kind of movies that right. stick with you more than a lot of other ones that you see in your life.
And yeah.
So I think that they couldn't do a less quote-unquote dated Bollywood no, reference because yeah. it wouldn't have been the movie that, like, they treasured they grew in up their on. Childhood.
Yeah. yeah, I agree with that.
Unless it was Kuch Kuch Hota Hai.
yeah, which, but they this person would probably have a similar...
It's only slightly less dated.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought that was funny. I was like, I'll be like 80 years old and arguing that DDLJ is still relatable.
Still relevant, yeah.
yeah. But then there was another quote that I really liked that said, for queer immigrants or queer children of immigrants from cultures that cultural researchers call collectivist and family-centered, this film will speak loudly and make them feel seen and understood.
That's great. I'm yeah. glad to hear that from, I'm assuming that that is a voice belonging to,
that I would
who identifies in those ways themselves.
I would assume so based on the, yeah. yeah. Another quote is, final verdict, a total gem. Add it to your must watch list immediately, then rewatch it with your mom.
Aww. Very sweet.
I was like, I love that. And so that was where I was going to end it, except then, like, right before we got on this call, I saw this review that is so... means not the word. I just think it's wrong. And so I want to read it to you so that we can bash this review.
Okay, great. Let's do it.
Okay, the title of the review is A Dull Indian Boy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They still gave it. They still gave it 4 stars out of 10. Which I think is funny. Okay. But the review. A nice Indian boy is sadly a lame, lackluster, and lamentably half-arsed attempt at a Bollywood-inspired gay rom-com. It's Bollywood beige, desaturated and subdued. And as a gay romance, it's tentative, shallow, and impossibly coy. We get a lovelorn protagonist, Naveen, who is so repressed and unmotivated that one wonders how he ever made it through high school, let alone medical school. And the object of his affection, Jay, who is supposedly his polar opposite, impulsive, romantic, and fearless. Except that Jay is played by a very mild-mannered Jonathan Groff, who rather fails to fit the heartthrob mold. There's no great chemistry between the two, and an aura of intense awkwardness hangs over all their scenes together. Less than stellar supporting performances don't help either. Naturally, everything builds to a supposedly rousing Bollywood ending, but it's Bollywood on a budget. So the hokey family wedding dance never explodes into the kind of over-the-top extravaganza that one might have hoped for, and that might have gone some way to saving the film. Instead, the already thin, modest, strained affair ends with something only just above a whimper.
Oh my god.
And that's okay. Like just wrong. It's just wrong.
That person had a complete misunderstanding.
They thought about it was going to be a Bollywood film.
Yeah, they totally did not know what the movie was trying to be.
Yeah. And
so when the movie wasn't what they assumed it was trying to be, they were disappointed, which is just unfair. That's point one. The same point extends for the whole, like, Jay's his polar opposite. Like, I don't think that's what they were going for.
No.
And I don't think heartthrob was what they were going for either. Just guy who Naveen finds attractive.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I want to say is, why would being awkward make anybody less likely to make it through med school?
Right?
Most of the people I know who aspire to go to med school are deeply awkward.
Yeah. You spend more time with books.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was so weird to me. I was like, there's no part of me that believes that Naveen's not competent, you know? Like, he's clearly a competent grown adult. It's just sometimes, like, social interactions, and specifically, like, romantic interactions.
He gets awkward. Personal interactions are really different from professional interactions. Yes. Like, you can have, like, a fully different approach to those things. Depending on the way your mind works. And the ends with a whimper thing, like, again,
it's so lovely. Like,
so lovely. And this person, I think they should have, once they started the movie and heard Bad to Me Still, they should have just turned this movie off and put on Hey Giovanni.
Exactly.
That was clearly what they wanted to watch.
I'm like, and what do you mean? Like, this wedding is a wedding that would actually happen.
Yes.
They're just a normal family putting on, like, a normal Indian wedding.
And to say, like, Bollywood on a budget, it's like, I didn't watch that and think that the movie didn't put in enough money.
No.
I was like, this seems like the kind of wedding you would throw when you're just, like, middle-class Americans.
Yeah, again, like, all of the reviews were so glowing, and then I saw that one, and I was like, oh, this is just purely wrong from start to finish. So
yeah, completely misunderstood what we were doing here.
Yeah, but you know, that's fine. So I loved it. I loved it so much.
Excellent.
I'm excited to watch it again. Bollywood. Is it Bollywood News? Bollywood Star Watch?
Bollywood stuff. But I also, like, I don't have anything. Like, I know stuff happened. There was a thing at some point that I was like, I've got to write this down. I got to look into this further. I don't remember what it was.
All right, well, guess what? Stuff happened.
Yeah, stuff happened. There's news. I didn't write it down.
We can leave it there. Yeah. Pluggables.
Yes.
Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram. Do what you do there. Also, consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You could even leave a review. Not if you're going to call us dull, though.
Maybe just
DM us that.
If you don't do that either. If you find us dull, just don't listen to the podcast anymore.
We're not for you. That's true. If you're expecting us to be an over-the-top extravaganza, in that reviewer's words.
Yeah, you should go elsewhere. You should just watch a Bollywood movie. Just watch the movies we talk about and don't listen to us talk about them.
I'm very supportive of that. That's fine.
Yeah.
So regardless of whether you want to listen to us, I mean, although you'll only hear this if you are listening to us, but, you know.
But maybe you don't want to be.
But maybe you don't want to be, and that's fine too. Thank you anyway for listening. And if you do want to be listening and you are listening, thank you as well.
Yeah.
You're great.
If you're hearing us say these words, thanks. And join us on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists and add the songs that we love from the movies that we watch. And you can find those playlists linked in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts. And I'm going to be adding Jalebi Baby song to the playlist because it deserves it. I don't think we can add Orville Peck, but if you haven't already, go listen to Orville Peck.
Yes, gay masked cowboy. 20 out of 10. Highly recommend.
Voice of an angel. Truly one of the most beautiful, richest voices you've ever heard.
Yeah. If you're looking for the way to get into Orville Peck, I highly recommend going to YouTube, looking up the music video for Hope to Die. It is everything you need to know about him to start. And then you're going to need to learn everything else. But
yeah,
it's phenomenal.
It's good stuff. So next week, we're doing something a little different because, you know, mm-hmm. we always like to break the mold. Instead of watching one movie, we are going to watch two movies.
Yeah.
Similar in that they are adaptations of Jane Austen novels.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about them both. So we are going to be watching Aisha.
Yep.
And I'm very excited that we are going to be watching Bride and Prejudice, which is the first Bollywood movie that I watched, even though I don't think it's technically a Bollywood movie since it is not in Hindi, but close enough.
Yeah. I mean, we just watched A Nice Indian Boy and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super excited. We have watched Aisha together. That is the adaptation of Emma. Bride and Prejudice is obviously the adaptation of Pride and Prejudice.
Yes.
What if it was just like, no, it's Mansfield.
Bride and Prejudice is Northanger Abbey.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've never seen it. So I'm really, really excited. And it's going to be great. Yeah. Are you? You're excited.
No.
No, I'm so upset.
I've never been less excited. No, I'm super excited. I mean, I haven't watched Bride and Prejudice since I was a teenager, and I watched it like 78 times.
A lot.
Hyperbole. And Aisha, I haven't seen in several years, but it was a lot of fun. And I watched it at least once since we watched it together. So I pulled up the IMDb plot description for Bride and Prejudice, which is available on Amazon.
Okie dokie.
And here's what we've got. A modern adaptation of Jane Austen's classic novel Pride and Prejudice that features the lives of four unmarried daughters in an Indian family. I mean, if you know the plot of Pride and Prejudice, you've pretty much got it right there. I do think it's funny that they cut out one of the sisters.
Oh, they did?
Well, just because there's four in Pride and Prejudice and in Bride and Prejudice, or sorry, there's five in Pride and Prejudice and there are only four in Bride and Prejudice.
Do they cut out Mary? No, they got to keep Mary.
I think there is like a nerdy one. I think they got rid of Kitty. Yeah.
Kitty, that makes sense because what's Kitty's point to the plot, you know?
I've always wanted to write like a follow-up to Pride and Prejudice from her perspective because I feel like she gets into some interesting stuff after.
What if Kitty ended up with, like, Georgiana? Isn't that her name?
The sister? Yeah. Darcy's sister? Yeah. I mean, sure, that's fine. I, as a straight person, don't tend to want to write slash or anything like that, but...
No, but I just, like, I want someone to write that. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
And then Aisha, also available to rent or buy on Amazon Prime. The synopsis is Aisha is a 2010. Okay. Nope. We're going to doop, 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 doop. It just describes the film and who's starring in it. And then it says it is set in the upper class society of Delhi, India, and is an adaptation of Jane Austen's 1815 novel, Emma.
I think of Aisha as like, they wanted to do Bollywood Clueless, but instead of just doing Bollywood Clueless, they went back to the source material.
Yeah, it's more accurate. I think when we watched it, we were like, this feels more like Clueless than Emma necessarily, but not in a bad way. No,
I disagree.
Does it feel more like Emma? I haven't watched it in like...
Because they did the same thing as Clueless, where they were like, let's do a modern adaptation of Emma, and she's like kind of a rich, vapid, like valley girl type. But they didn't take Clueless as their source material. They went back to Emma.
You're right.
So there's a lot of differences between Aisha and Clueless. It's just the same concept.
It's
is
not
what
as...
I remember.
Yeah.
We might watch it and find that we're wrong.
I feel like it's not... it's not like as ridiculous of a comedy. I mean, it is a comedy in the sense that Emma's a comedy, but it's not, it doesn't have the ridiculousness that happens in Clueless.
I think they just don't mimic the exact moments of ridiculousness that Clueless has, if that makes sense.
Well, we'll have to watch. We'll have to refresh our brains. I'm very excited about it. We'll watch both. We'll just chat. Probably gonna giggle.
I hope so.
Yeah. On that note, until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
And love.
So much love. We all need love.
We do.
Yeah, watch the movie. Watch it a million times. Everyone buy it. Everyone support it. It's great.
Watch it and then watch it with your mom, like that one review suggested, or watch it with your partner, like Katie plans to do. Watch it alone, if that's your preference. Yeah. Just watch it and love it.
Watch it with your pet. Yeah.
Yeah. And know that we love you too.
Yeah.